I hope you're excited today. We know that the weather is a little funky out there, and so we delayed the service a little bit so that give you a chance to clean the snow and ice off your car so you can get here. And so it's always a blessing to be able to persevere and press your way, especially when the weather isn't what we would like it to be. But we are so grateful for all that the Lord is doing among us, and it is exciting to see the manifestations of God. That's what we are abiding to abound, right? In the manifestations of God. And we are talking about this month following the Lord, being steadfast in our following, our pursuit of God, and enabling the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and to guide us in the ways that we should go so that we can be effective at representing His kingdom. And so as we persevere here today in the Word of God, we know that the Word of God is designed to change us. That is what the purpose of the Word of God is. You cannot read the Word of God and stay the same. You cannot have an encounter with God at all and stay the same. And the more you spend time with God, the more you change. And that is one of the signs of Christian growth and maturity, is change. And as we interact with people and as we know people and as we share, there should be this progression of growth and maturity as we are operating in the wisdom of God, in the strength of God, in the power of God. As we follow Him, as He leads us, He navigates us through life to avoid all of the strategies of the enemy. That's important because Satan is always strategizing. He's always working to counter what God is doing in people's lives. And so each one of us have to carefully follow the Lord, to remain faithful in our walk with Him, in our staying behind Him and allowing Him to lead us and guide us, so that we can experience the kingdom life, if you will, the life that God has intended for us to have, even as the world was designed for Adam in the garden. And so we see that played out in such a huge production and with great clarity in the book of Exodus, and as it is laid out through Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land by Joshua. And that is a picture of salvation. It is a picture of what God is doing in the world. Life itself is about salvation. Life itself is about salvation. The life that we live, these few short years, is the transition out of bondage into the promised land. Ultimately, the promised land is the land of promise, the land that Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, there you may be also." It is a picture of the ultimate kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And so as we live in this life, that will determine whether or not we cross over into the promised land, or whether or not we actually make it. And many people were brought out of Egypt, but not everyone made it out of the wilderness. And so in Deuteronomy 8:1, we see that it says, "All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers." And so this, our lead verse for today, is an important principle that we must understand as the people of God. We must understand that the Word of God, or the commandments of God, are there so that we can be careful to obey them, to apply them in our lives for the purpose of having a more fruitful life, to be able to multiply in everything that we do. I was paying particular attention during the offering when Brother Terrence was reading the scripture, and it said that God would multiply what you sow. The reason that you give is so that God can be glorified, so that he would be honored. And in giving, God will bless what you give. Or another way to put it is God will bless you because you are a giver. And when you're a giver, then God blesses. God blesses givers. God blesses those who sow, those who apply the word of God. When you obey him, when you do what he has asked us and even commanded us to do, then there is a blessing that is poured out to honor your faithfulness. It is a response that is established in the word of God, the very thing that holds the universe together. And these promises of God are there for our own good. And so he says to go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. It is a picture of God honoring his promises. God honors his promises. And so I would like to use as a theme today, what are you waiting for? No, that's the wrong theme. Well, the theme is led into the wilderness. That's what that should be. You should have it in your bulletin, right? Led in the wilderness. I guess this is one of those days, right? And so God has called us to understand that it is by the leading of God that we are able to accomplish and fulfill and experience the promises of God. As we obey him and as we follow him and as we do his will, we are led by God. And the principle or the idea of being led is very important to know and to understand in the scripture. And so we all need to be led of God. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would arise in the midst of us and that you would enable us to hear your voice and to follow you, that we would be faithful ambassadors of the kingdom of God, and that we would be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that, God, you would arise up within us and give us strength. Lord, clear our minds that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying beyond the voice of a man, and that we would have a heart to receive the word of God, and that its truths would penetrate deep into our hearts, that we may spring forth and bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Lord, we thank you for all these things that you are doing among us, and that you would continue to manifest yourself through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, led into the wilderness, as we are led by God, led by the Spirit of the Lord, God will navigate us through life. The wilderness represents the life that we live. It represents the challenges that we face. It represents the hardships and the difficulties and what it takes to obtain or to receive or even inherit the promises of God. And so the wilderness is a place that everyone must pass through. It is impossible to go from a place of bondage to a place of promise without having a wilderness experience. You must go through the wilderness. Everyone goes through the wilderness. And so as we look at the scripture here today, we see in Exodus chapter 15 how God is bringing the Israelites through the wilderness, and they're in their early stages of this transition, but they are people who are not satisfied with their conditions. They are not satisfied with their conditions. They thought that once they left Egypt, they would be able to see all these miracles because when they got started, Moses ignited the work and the ministry with miracles. It was miracles that got them out of Egypt. It was the rod of Aaron that was stretched out or that was cast down. And it was all of these amazing testimonies and things that Moses spoke and declared that came to pass. And we're all familiar with the 10 plagues of Egypt. These were miracles that only God could do. And so many of the Israelites followed Moses out of Egypt because of the miracles that they saw. But their heart was not for the Lord. They really were just following sensationalism, if you will. And because they were Jews, they were able to go along with the Hebrews. But the problem was they had an Egyptian mindset. They had spent so long in Egypt that they really didn't have the Hebrew mindset. They didn't really have the mindset of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had the mindset of the Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. And that mindset is contradictory to the mind of God. And it is the mind that God is trying to renew, so that the heart can be right. The heart and the mind work together. And it is the two that enable us to get a greater understanding or have a greater understanding of who we are. And the scripture says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? The heart, it's something that it has its own kind of will, if you will. And it does what it wants, regardless of what the mind is thinking. And so the two, when they are synchronized together, they take us on a path through life that is contrary to God. And this is why many Christians are unsuccessful at representing Christ, at representing God. It's not because they don't know the scripture or they don't haven't memorized verses or they don't have a religious appearance and they don't go to church or they don't go to Bible studies and prayer meetings. It's not because of any of those things, even though that could be part of the problem. But it is really because their hearts are not right with God. When your heart is not right with God, then it doesn't matter what's going on in your head, because it is the heart that is at the root of the core of who you are. In fact, in Hebrew, the word for that is used for heart, it actually means the soul of a person. And so when we talk about the heart, we're really talking about the soul. We're talking about the very essence of who a person is. It is the very thing that is within you that is eternal. The soul is eternal, and it lives forever. It is the part of us that connects with God. It is the spiritual side of us. And so when your heart is right, then everything kind of comes together in your life. And so in Exodus 15:22, we see it says that Moses leads the Israelites from the Red Sea, and he went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And so here they are. They're glad to be free from the Egyptians. The waters of the Red Sea have closed down and drowned the Egyptian army. That is an amazing thing. Everybody's mug is tight. Everyone's mouth is closed, shut, and they have nothing to say. And so they're just going along because they're so happy that they're out of Egypt and that they're delivered and that they're in this new environment, a new experience. And they are going along, and after 3 days, all of a sudden, everybody's hungry and thirsty. They're like, wait a minute, we need some food. We need something to drink. What's going on here? And so their rations that they brought with them from Egypt were beginning to run out. And they had run out of water, and they were thirsty. Going through the wilderness can be a thirst cultivating experience. And so when you're lugging all kinds of equipment, especially all of your possessions, and there you are trekking through the wilderness, and you're 3 days in after outpacing the Egyptian army, the world power at the time, the greatest nation on earth, you just defeated them. Hallelujah. By the hand of God, you are so grateful, your adrenaline is stirring. And now you're 3 days in and things are kind of winding down because you have peace and everything's kind of going good. And now your focus is no longer on trying to escape the Egyptians. Now your focus is on everyone and everything around you. Now you begin to realize, hey, we don't have enough water. Oh, we don't have this and we don't have that. And now the complaints begin to arise. And now all of a sudden, the mind is not on God and the experience. Now it's on what we do not have. It's about the pursuit of all of these things that the life has. Do I need to change something? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. So we are traveling through the wilderness and the people are complaining. They're whining. They have issues. They got problems. They no longer are focused on the Lord. They're focused on themselves. And once you begin to focus on yourself, that's when the problem really begins. And then when you begin to focus on yourself, that's when you begin to realize, well, the condition of the heart is coming to the surface. Now you're whining and complaining after being led by God through unbelievable and amazing opposition and circumstances, and you are in the hands of Almighty God, and you get 3 days in and you start whining and complaining about you don't have water. And so it seems ridiculous, doesn't it? It seems that it's just crazy or pathetic. But it really is the mindset that people have. This is the mindset of Christians. You know, the Bible is written to believers, and it is written to the people of God. It is written to represent those who are yielded and submitted to God and who are willing and wanting to do what is right before the Lord. So we are not talking about people who are heathens. We are talking about people who are genuinely serving or a part of the kingdom of God in some way. And so we see their whining and complaining because they have no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. It was a poisoned water, and they couldn't drink it. And so they called the place Marah. And so the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And so God made provision. Notice how this worked. The people came out of Egypt by the hand of God and his power and his strength. Then they get 3 days in, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, we don't have water. And rather than just try to work it out and ask or pursue gaining the information making this information known, it says they were complaining. They were grumblers. They really weren't coming to Moses and dealing with the issue in a manageable, reasonable way, but they grumbled among themselves. Grumbling means they talked to everyone except for the people that had the ability to do something. They grumbled amongst themselves. They whined and they complained. And this is what even church people do, isn't it? You know, they whine and we grumble and we complain amongst ourselves. And we don't go to the people or the persons who actually have the ability to do something and say, hey, I have a concern, I have an interest, I have something that needs to be done. And when we operate in the way that God has designed us to do, we are able to see how God will provide. And the interesting thing is when you remember what God has done for you, and you realize that God is the one who's led you to where you are, then you will have faith to believe and to know that you will be taken care of where you are. And so when you realize you run out of water, you certainly know there's no shortage of water. You just came through the Red Sea. You saw God do amazing things with water. God can cause water to do all kinds of things. And so now we're complaining, we have no water. And so here they are, and they're experiencing this concern, and Moses goes to God. They grumbled among themselves, then they went to Moses. Moses goes to God. And that is because Moses is following God. And when Moses is following God, the people are following him, and so the whole assembly is really following God. They're not following Moses. And so the people were blaming Moses for what God was actually doing. And Moses was the one who was being blamed, and they were holding him to task when really it was God. And this is what happens when people don't realize or recognize who they are following. You must remember who you are following. When you are following God, God will provide for you. He will make a way for you. And he says to make your requests known to him. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And when we make our requests known unto God, then God will respond. And he will make a way and be able to provide for you. And so Moses cries out to the Lord, and he shows him this tree. And he throws this tree into the water, and the bitter waters become sweet. This is the power of God. God can change your situation. The same water that was bitter is now sweet. Hallelujah. The same water that was bitter is now sweet. That's the way God works. God will turn things around. And sometimes we're in the midst of situations and circumstances. Sometimes we're in the midst of the people, and trees in Scripture represent what? Do you remember? They represent people. It represents lineage. It represents the future, God taking us from where we are to where he wants us to be. It is the place of provision. God makes provision for us. And so we know that when he threw the tree into the waters, the bitter waters became sweet. And that is because God was preserving the lineage of the people. God was making provision for the people. And so he tested them. Every challenge you face is a form of testing. God is testing us. God will test us. He will try us. And that is for the purpose of bringing about, what does Paul say? Patience. He says the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith will bring about patience. And that's what the people needed. They needed to be patient. They needed to learn how to wait on God. They needed to know how to trust in Him. They needed to know that He was the source of their life, health, and strength, and that their provision was in the hand of God. And so he says, I will put none of the diseases on which I have put on the Egyptians on you, for the Lord, I am your healer. For I, the Lord, am your healer. God is a healer today. God is a healer. I thought this verse was interesting because he says, I will not put any of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. They're not going to come on you. And I believe that when you walk with God, when you're faithful to God, He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will keep you healthy and strong. And many of the things, in fact, the Bible says in the last days that perilous times will come. There'll be sicknesses and diseases and all kinds of things that are going on in the world, even earthquakes and all of these different things. And I believe that the faithful, those who are walking with God, who are carefully following Him and abiding in His Word and applying the principles of God in their lives, that God will preserve us. He will sustain us and He will keep us. And there will be a difference between those who believe and those who are in rebellion. And so in these last days, this period is so fast coming upon us. And we know that God is a healer. It says, then they came to Elim where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. And they camped there beside the waters. You see, if they had just been patient, they would have got to spring waters. I think it was Poland Springs. No, it wasn't Poland Springs. It was Elim Springs. And they came to Elim Springs. And there was fresh water there. And so they camped there. And they made provision there. And that's what God does in our life. When we are able to wait on the Lord, if we can endure a period of thirstiness and of hunger, we know the Word of God is represented in Scripture often by water. And water represents God's cleansing agent, his ability to wash and renew, his ability to quench thirst. And so that's what the Word of God represented, and the people were following the Word of God. Following God, it means we follow the Word of God. And as we obey the Word, as we apply the principles of God and His Word in our life, we see the fruitfulness of God. We see God's provision. We see God make a way and open doors. And so in Deuteronomy 8:1, it says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. The promises of God are tied to the word of the Lord. They are the very word of God, the promise of God. He goes on and he says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. God allows us to go through life for the purpose of testing us, to try us, to make sure that we will keep his commandments. And so many times we find ourselves having challenges and difficulties and hardships and problems, and we never stop to think about what God has brought us through, but we think about the challenge that we are currently facing, and we get caught up in all of that that is involved or it entails of what we don't have or how we're going to make it or how is it going to happen and oh, this or that. But when will we learn to call upon the name of the Lord? Remember how he has brought us through in the past. Remember how he has delivered us, how he brought us through all of the experience in the wilderness. It says 40 years of wilderness experience, because this is at the end of their trek through the wilderness. And so he goes on and he says, he humbled you and let you be hungry. You see that? He humbled you and let you be hungry. And then fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Do you want to live today? Then you must learn how to follow God. If you want to live today, then you must learn how to obey and apply the word of God. If you want to live today, you must learn how to shut out the voice of distraction and to shut those down in your life who are speaking contrary or in a way that would hinder you from hearing and receiving the word of God. God has called us to be true to his word, to hold to his word, to trust in his word, to follow his word. The word of God is more important than you realize. Everyone these days has a Bible. There's a reason for that. I really believe that it is the Spirit of God that has caused the Bible to be the number one book in the world. There is a reason that no matter what mankind has done to destroy it, and every major civilization in the history of the world has made an attempt to eradicate or destroy and completely remove the word of God from its midst, but they have all been unsuccessful, including our current generation. And we know that God is sustaining his word. It will not return void. It will not fail to accomplish its purposes. It will uphold and hold true to even your very cellular core existence. It is the word of God that prevails and enables us to overcome. And how much more do we need to have the word of God hidden in our hearts, in our soul, that we may not sin against God, that we may not fail to follow him or stray from the course or the way of God. We must learn how to hold on and see where the Lord takes us. There will be times when you're thirsty. There will be times when you're hungry. There will be times when you lack and you don't have and you can't see, or you have issues or you have problems. All of these things are going to happen. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But God is able, and he will see you through them all if you hold true to the word of God, if you allow him to lead you and guide you in all that you do. Notice how they made it through the wilderness, what God was able to do. It says, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. 40 years, he said, no gout. No swollen feet from walking through the wilderness for 40 years. It was only 40 days' journey, but it took them 40 years because of the murmuring and the complaining, because of the people who were a hindrance. And I guarantee you, if you have people who murmur and complain in your life, they're a hindrance to you. They're a hindrance. They're not going to solve any problems. They're not going to solve any issues. All they do is hinder, because that's the spirit of complaining. The spirit of the murmurer, or a murmuring spirit, is one that is constantly complaining. And that's why people who tend to complain about everything. They're always complaining. They always will find something. It doesn't matter how great things are. They will find the one small speck of thing that is off or not right or that could be better, and they will blow it up into a huge thing, and they will murmur and complain and murmur and complain and murmur and complain and murmur and complain until ultimately they are destroyed, because that murmuring spirit only hurts the murmurer. Because that is where disease comes from. That is where sickness comes from. That is where all kinds of issues and problems come from. And we know scientifically that diseases are spread through stress. And the more you're stressed out, and the more you're worried and making issues out of things, the more you will suffer. It will come back on you. And you have to learn how to cast off the spirit of the murmurer. And you have to learn how to turn a deaf ear to those who would murmur in your presence. And learn how to go to God where you can get divine results. That is what God wants to see in our lives. He will cause even your clothes to be sustained. Some people, it don't matter whether their clothes wear out or not. They just go buy new stuff anyway. That is a sin against God. It really is. You go out buying stuff and you have no real need for it. You just want something new. And you need to learn how to manage your resources better. And you need to learn how to do better. Some people have, I was watching one of those home improvement shows, and they're renovating these houses from the early 1900s. And all of the houses in the early 1900s, they had these small closets. Small closets. And one of the comments that was made is they said the average person only had one suit, one good set of clothes. Everything else was kind of like work clothes or casual clothes. And so they didn't have, so when they went to church on Sunday or if they went to an important meeting, they wore their one suit. So every week in church, everybody had on the same thing they had on last week. And you know what? Nobody thought anything of it. But nowadays, you have to be able to go for almost a whole year without people saying, didn't you wear that a few months ago? And so now, today, we don't have small closets. Small closets aren't enough. Because we don't, not only are we greedy and selfish, but we hoard. We hoard. And we won't give things away to someone else because we say, you know, I always love this outfit. I've always loved this. I've always liked it. You know, I'm just gonna hold on to it. You know, I think I'm gonna wear this again one of these days. And you put it in a closet with your gazillion of other outfits that you will wear one of these days. And it disappears into the darkness. And every day you get up going, what am I going to wear? Oh, what am I going to wear? And you never grab the outfit that says, one of these days I'm going to wear it. And so now we have turned bedrooms into closets. Whole bedrooms into closets. Oh my goodness gracious. What in the world has happened to us? We are so caught up in the possessions that we have, the things that we have, and we have lost our way. God says, I can cause your one outfit to never wear out. We don't want that. We're like, are you kidding, God? No. I can't wear this same outfit every day. I mean, we're 40 years in the wilderness. I need 40 years worth of outfits. I don't care what everybody else is wearing, those old dusty rags. They've been dragging through the wilderness. I need a fresh set of clothes every day. I got to get up. I can't wear the same underwear every day. Do you see? Do you see your response? Shame on you. Shame. Shame on you. The word of God says their clothes did not wear out. Hallelujah. Yes. Subject for another day. God will sustain what you have. It doesn't matter what it is. He will keep your appliances working. He will keep your car functioning, and he will cause all the things that God provides for you, all the things that he blesses you with, he will sustain them. when you're faithful to God, and you won't have to spend money over and over again on things, because God will sustain you. All you need to do is be faithful to his word. And he goes on, verse 5 says, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you. And just as a man disciplines his son, God was trying to bring correction into their lives. He was trying to cause them to move from an Egyptian mindset, way of thinking and operating, to the mindset of the kingdom of God. He was trying to transform them into the very people of God. He said, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. And to fear him. In other words, you need to be concerned about how you live. And this is interesting because they came through wars. And if you remember, we talked about how Moses had his hands held up by Hur and Aaron. Why? Because in the world, you will have battles. There will be challenges and difficulties. Satan will come against you for no reason at all. He will just rise up against you. And God will be your source of life, health, and strength. He will be your provision. He will be the one who watches over you. And so you need to be fearful that you don't come out from under your covering, because God is the one who provides water. He turns bitter water into sweet water. He brings down manna from heaven, something you've never heard of. He said God brought manna that you had never even heard of. You didn't even know it existed, and neither did your forefathers. No one in history is what he means. Is that there's no one in the history of humanity had ever seen manna or knew anything of manna before that day. And I can tell you, God is able to cause something that you've never even heard of, nothing you've even expected, nothing you could ever imagine, to come to pass in your life. God can show up in a way that is a miracle of God. You can find yourself trying to figure out how it's going to work, how God is going to do it. You can't even imagine it. You don't even have the mind to imagine it. So you just have to trust in the Lord. You just have to follow him and walk in his ways. It says in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, if you follow the word of God, don't just go wandering off to do whatever you feel you want to do or what you think you want to do. But just trust God. Allow him to lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. And when you're faithful to him, he will open doors that no man can shut. He will cause the mountains to come down so you can walk over them. He will cause great valleys to rise up, and you will be able to go on level land. God is able to do the impossible in your life. It requires the faithfulness of God. It requires us to hold on to the truths of God. And if you are faithful to do what he has called us to do, you will see the miracle aspects of God. It says in verse 24, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, we all know the answer ought to be nothing. There's nothing we should give exchange. But we want to obey the word of God. We want to obey what God says. He says, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Hallelujah. That's God texting right there. And he's got big letters. You know what that means, right? He's shouting it out. God is saying, get this. You understand this.
This is something that I've said before, and now I'm saying it again. And Jesus is quoting the Old Testament here. And we know that God is shouting this out because it's a reiterating fact. And whenever God repeats something in Scripture, it's always a sign that we need to take heed and pay strict attention and apply this principle in our lives. This is why Jesus said truly, truly, or verily, verily. And he would say these things and repeat himself twice. And in every sense, he is driving home a critical and important point and fact that we need to take hold, because it is the difference between life and death. God is wanting us to get these principles. The psalmist says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." How many people rip up this verse by just cutting to the quick, saying, "Weeping will last for the night, and joy comes in the morning"? Oh, no, 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 no. That's not what it says. It says that the anger of the Lord is only temporary, but his favor is for a lifetime. You can't leave that out. The favor of the Lord is for a lifetime. That means God is going to correct you. He's going to allow you to go through certain challenges and difficulties because you rebel against God, or you sway from the will of God or the ways of God. But don't worry, God doesn't hold on to his anger. God says, "I have favor to pour out on you for a lifetime." And that means even when you're experiencing the anger of God, you still have his favor at the same time. And so he buffers his anger against you. He doesn't give you what you deserve, because mercy kicks in, because grace kicks in. And God enables you to operate in his favor, and your weakness.